from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why can't I hear my own voice?
Can you hear yourself now?
Yes, after you ruined my opening line. I said I'm actually on my show today.
That's a first part of the battle.
How are you, Limits?
I'm great. How are you?
Sullen and angry, but happy that it's a football week. I can tell you that. We wait all year for an actual game, and we finally have one. It's Steelers-Falcons, and the Steelers are a 3-point underdog to a team that fired its coach, hasn't had a winning season since 2017, and also they're called the Atlanta Falcons. So I think there's a couple of things to worry about here, but we'll get to that. We have a whole day. Hope everybody is enjoying themselves today. Maybe you're out on the road. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app. Perhaps you're listening wherever you are on 937thefan.com. You were at the West Virginia Penn State game the other day, weren't you, Limits?
I certainly was.
Did you drink?
I did not.
You're lying. Were you there for the... Well, you obviously
were. Well, I did go to the Crowley tailgate and indulge in a beverage.
Right. I knew you were lying.
I forgot. I just one, though.
You forgot?
Just one, though.
Just one bottle of whiskey? That's it?
Crowley gave me a beer, and that was all.
What was the Crowley tailgate like? What state was he in? What were the rain delays like? Tell us about your day in Morgantown.
The Crowley tailgate was awesome. And I got to meet his buddy Wes, who's a really good dude, went to Morgantown with, and a lot of their guys who were in comm department together at West Virginia, which is cool. Max Starks was there.
At
Crowley's tailgate.
What?
Andrew Filippone made an appearance.
Did
at the Crowley tailgate.
My understanding, he's predicting Pitt to finish in the 12-team playoffs.
Something
now?
Like that.
Hmm.
Wonder how that one will fall.
Go ahead.
So
his wife is a West Virginia girl. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Okay.
And
that's starting to make sense now.
His wife, Amanda, asked, how do you like West Virginia so far? Has it been better than you kind of expected in terms of fans heckling you? Has anybody heckled you? Nobody has done that, right? And I said, no, it's been fine. She said, you probably didn't expect that. You expected there to be problems. And I was like, not really. It overplayed all the time, the amount of just sheer ignorance and poor behavior from fan bases.
That's your opinion. What food was served at the tailgate?
I did not eat any of the food at the tailgate. There wasn't much food there when I got there.
That wasn't my question.
I did.
What was served?
I was dodging the question because I didn't know. I think there were sandwiches, like small sandwiches.
small sandwiches.
Not
we're,
like
we're both a
you know,
little
not
cranky
like a sandwich,
today.
Not like a sandwich tray.
Right.
But there
finger sandwiches
pork, from like pork and a you know, you can put it on a bun, make
shredded pork, right.
Yeah.
And Crowley was the one responsible for this?
Wes was in charge of it.
Wes was okay. And what kind of jersey was Crowley wearing?
Now this is White? Funny. And Joe, if you saw the picture that I tweeted out Crowley.
I didn't.
Crowley was wearing a gold West Virginia polo shirt. I was like, you going golfing after this, Crowley? I was surprised he's wearing a polo shirt.
And then the rain delays were frightening. How would you describe them? Did you see actual lightning? I mean, it took forever.
Yes, we saw lightning. At first, you know, against the better judgment of reality, I just decided, you know, let's just stay in our seats and wait it out. And maybe there won't be too much rain or lightning, or maybe it'll be just a little bit of rain and we'll be okay. And we don't have to go to the concourse and be in the big convoy of a crowd all mushed up together. Well, we look on the opposite side of the stadium as it keeps getting darker and darker and looks like we're going to be swallowed up in like a hurricane. And there's debris that is flying around the opposite side of the stadium with the wind picking up and blowing like really poorly. And we're like, yeah, we might as well go for cover. So we end up, they open up the suites for people to hang out in the hallway at West Virginia. So they let like 25 West Virginia fans in. And then they see me and my sister and my sister's boyfriend trying to walk in. And they're like, no, you got to go back. And I was about to go off on somebody. And I said a couple words that were not necessarily choice, but
you could have been arrested.
No.
In West Virginia.
No. Some West Virginia fan was behind me, though, and I was chatting it up with him. And he was basically like, you know, the hell with this. And he pushed us all forward and past the security people. And they let us just hang out for an hour up there. And then we made our way back to the concourse and had to wait there for an hour. It was frustrating, but we just kind of sat around and hung out for a while, and we stuck it out for all 2.5 hours. My sister asked if we should leave like 3 or 4 different times, and I just kept saying,
I'll answer that retroactively. Yes, you should have left.
Well,
that was a disgraceful performance by them.
By who?
West Virginia.
I don't root for West Virginia.
Well, I'm not saying you do. It was horrifying.
I knew Penn State was going to win, so that's why I wanted to stay. If I was a West Virginia fan, I would have left.
This whole Neil Brown thing really, really gets me. He should have been gone. They should have gotten rid of him while they could before they won a couple of meaningless games last year, and now it's all going to come crumbling down. Do you agree?
No, I think they'll be fine.
You do?
I think they're going to be fine. Gary Green played very bad. I don't expect him to play that bad the whole rest of the season. Still think he's a good player.
Well, what's ever left of the Big 12, I suppose they can win some games. And didn't Neil Brown guarantee they wouldn't finish last? So there's always that.
Their
offensive line was that last year. Penn State looked pretty good, though.
They looked incredible.
It's hard to tell. But Drew Aller looked really, really good. He did, man. What is he, 6'5", 240?
About that.
And with a new coordinator, I wonder, you know, how good is West Virginia? He did this to them last year. I can't help but think of that, too. He destroyed West Virginia last year. Are they much better? I don't know. But as I watch him, and I'm certainly not comparing Drew Aller to these people, but as I watch him, some of the plays he made and just the body type that he has and the arm that he has, it conjures up images of Josh Allen and Ben. I'm not comparing him to those people. Every time I would do this with Ron, I would throw out the caveat beforehand that all I'm saying is that as I watched this guy play, my brain thought of, let's say, Ben or Josh Allen. That's not comparing him. He's really done nothing in college yet. All
correct.
I'm saying is that images arose in my mind of those players. That's it. End of story, period. And despite the caveat, Ron would invariably then say, I wouldn't compare him to Ben just yet. I'm not. I didn't compare him to Ben. I said while watching him, I had a vision or two of a 6'5", 240 6-pound guy keeping his eyes downfield as he maneuvers pretty adroitly, and that's a good word, and gunning the ball downfield at that size and weight. That's all I'm saying, and that's all I've ever said. And yet Ron would jump in and do it again. He's Josh Allen. I would never make that comparison. He'd do it every time. And it would make me angry. So I'm not making those comparisons. I'm merely saying that this kid has a chance to be quite special. Would you agree with that?
I would 100% agree with it. I talked to Drew at Penn State Media Day, and he said he slimmed down 10 pounds. He lost 10 pounds in the offseason, and I think he put a lot of it back on and just muscle. He looked different in terms of how he moved in the pocket. There were a couple of plays where defenders were draped all over him, and he would have been sacked on those plays last year. And the stiff arm that he made, he's a completely different player in the level of confidence that he displayed on the field on Saturday.
Well, but not compared to last year's West Virginia game.
Right.
So let's see what happens from here on out.
I think he looked different than last year's West Virginia game.
Maybe, yeah. Let's see what happens if West Virginia's any good, and it's the same thing with Eli Holstein. I mean, I sat in here and would ask Paul and other people who know more about Pitt football than me, their beat writers, for example, who come on the show with us, wait, why did they bring in Eli Holstein, a 4-star recruit from Alabama, if they were just going to play Nate Yarnell? That makes zero sense to me. What is going on with this? And ultimately, what was going on is they made the sensible move, it would seem to me. If you're impressed enough with a 4-star recruit from Alabama that you go to the trouble of bringing him in, you're going to play him, right?
Yeah, and he looked really good.
You have to play him. And then nothing about that quarterback battle made sense from day one. And then finally, they made the move that I expected all along. And yeah, he played well. But, you know, you got to put in the same qualifiers as you do with Aller, which is forget about West Virginia. West Virginia might be pretty good. Okay, they'll win 8 games, something like that. Kent State is horrible. Kent State, I was just reading on Yardbarker this morning, one of Mulsey's many sites that he writes for. They're one of the 15 worst programs in FBS. They were 1-11 last year. So believe me. Here's what I'll say, and don't forget, too, that Phil Jurkovic last year lit up Wofford in the opener. Before you start laughing at that, the only team that Kent State beat last year was Central Connecticut, who I bet would have a good game against Wofford. Would you agree? Limits?
Probably.
So before we start going crazy here about that, please keep that in mind. Having said that, clearly, you know, there have been years where Pitt literally can't propel the ball down the field through the air. Like their passing game looks like before football was really invented, where all they did was run. Like it was illegal to throw the ball in the air. That's what Pitt has looked like in some years, including last year after the big Wofford opener. Clearly they have a guy who can sling it a little bit if he gets time, right? I mean, he was pretty impressive.
Yeah, big arm. Strong kid, looked really poised in the pocket.
Is it going to look that way against real teams? I don't know. How many real teams does Pitt play? That would be my other question.
Yeah, they have Clemson on the schedule. That looks a lot easier now.
And that was the only ranked team they had on the schedule. So, man, I like the way he looked. He kept throwing it to the other team a little bit. He had the horrible interception, then two others that were right in their hands that they dropped. But I do like my first read on Holstein is they look like a real offense. You know, I liked it. But there's many, many qualifiers there. Many qualifiers to that because it was Kent State. And they are absolutely horrible. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they're definitely not good, Kent State. And that's a team that Penn State actually plays in a couple of weeks. Kent State is going through the gauntlet of Pennsylvania teams.
Yeah. As everybody gets a little bit of Kent State. I do have a new favorite player for Pitt.
Who's that?
Desmond Reed.
Electric player.
Oh, my God. A little bit of Deion Lewis. And again, let me throw out the caveat. As I was watching some of the moves he was making at that height, my mind just flashed to some Barry Sanders highlights. I wouldn't say he's Barry Sanders. That's a little crazy.
Come on, Joe. He's not on the Lions.
I didn't say that. I didn't say he was Barry Sanders. All I said was when I see a guy of that stature making ridiculous moves like that. There was one he made at the line of scrimmage that was, I replayed it 10 times where a guy just had him lined up and a little sidestep. He's really fun to watch. And the punt return was Darrell Revis-like. Well, I don't think he's Darrell Revis. You can't say that yet. No, I'm not saying that. Why am I arguing with Ron's ghost in here today?
Trey Archer was a small player for the Steelers. He didn't work out.
Why am I arguing with the ghost of Ron Cook this morning? But that punt return, it wasn't Darrell Revis' punt return. But the beginning of it, we just saw it in the back again. He shouldn't have picked up the ball, to be real honest with you. He picked up a bouncing ball, and he got cracked as soon as he picked it up. Like, if I showed you the impact and then stopped the cut right there and asked you, how does this play wind up? I might have said fumble, certainly a loss, terrible decision. Instead, he bounced around all the way to the other side of the field and ran for a touchdown. I mean, it was phenomenal. I love this guy. You?
I didn't get to see the full game yet to go back and watch it because of being at the Penn State-West Virginia game. How about, speaking of West Virginia, there's a whiteboard Pony took a video of at Bowser Chevy where he's at today that says Adam Crowley smells bad, which is also interesting to point out. But no, I mean, he looked like somebody who can be a game changer with the football in his hands. And the way that he picked the right holes, running the football, adds another dimension and another element for Pitt that, I mean, nobody knew what was going to happen when Rodney Hammond was indefinitely suspended this year.
They got a couple guys who look like they can play. We'll get back to all of this as the show goes on. Well, one more thing about college football is that I love the fact that Brian Kelly freaked out after the game yesterday. Do you have that little clip before we get to Steelers-Falcons? I just loved it. I love the fact that this guy, this hot-headed fraud, is 0-3 in openers at LSU. Remember when he went there, Limits, and started talking like he was a Southerner? Remember that?
Yes, and remember that video that he took with the recruit with all the flashing lights and he was doing some weird things with his fingers? And
0-3 in openers now. They blew this game against USC. Do you have this clip? Because I enjoyed it, and I watched this 10 times, too.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
Go back to the beginning, because that, where you hear that slam, that's him picking up his left arm and slamming it onto the table.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. Butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
The video is just,
I saw
beautiful.
It last night. He is one of the most unlikable coaches in all of college football.
History is the only word I would add to that sentence, and I agree with every syllable and quarter syllable you just said.
They've lost 5 straight openers. How about that?
I just love it. Now, he's wound up having some pretty good records. I'm going to use my first Paul pause, if you don't mind. I know I only get 2. I only get 2 of those. So I have to
unless you win one of your Paul pauses.
Actually, he hasn't done anything that he's supposed to do there. That program went 15-0 in 2019, which wasn't that long ago. Then they fell on hard times. He's gone 10-4 and 10-3. So you lose 3 games, 4 games. That ain't why he's there. He's there to win and win big and challenge for national championships. And he's finished both years out of the top 10. His teams stink compared to what he thought they would be. And man, am I enjoying that. Are you?
Yes. I'm very much enjoying Brian Kelly's downfall just because he just seems like a jerk, as Paul would say.
Yeah. Well, It's not he just seems like one. He is one. Who else do they play? And why am I talking about LSU football?
Probably Alabama.
Yeah, they play Ole Miss, number 6, Alabama, Oklahoma. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. It's really going to be fun. Be even funner to see him fired after the year, wouldn't it?
Definitely funner.
And then the
It'd be more funner to see him fired.
Then the Pitt rumors could start.
Why would he be rumored to go to Pitt?
I'm kidding, City Limits.
Maybe he'll be West Virginia's new coach.
We have a football week. Steelers, Falcons. And if you're listening out there, what is your confidence level going into this game? The Steelers are a field goal underdog to the Falcons. And a lot of people are looking at Atlanta as a team that can win the miserable NFC South. It's undeniable. They're a team that has a lot of talent. They do. I didn't realize that in addition to the skill players, they have the same offensive line coming back. And people regard it as a pretty decent offensive line they had under Arthur Smith last year. They also have Kirk Cousins now, as we know, who's coming off an Achilles tear, but who puts up great numbers. Like, season openers are, you know, why Kirk Cousins is here. Season openers were made for Kirk Cousins, not necessarily big games late in the year and certainly not playoff games, but season openers? Huh. That's where the Kirk Cousins of the world thrive. So they have him. They have Bijan Robinson. They have Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts, who hasn't really put up the numbers that people thought when Atlanta made him such a high draft pick, but he also has caught like 2,500 yards worth of balls in 3 years. They added Matthew Judon. They added Justin Simmons. They might be a pretty good team. And I was just looking at the rankings. The Athletic ran 10,000 simulations of this season. And I'm going to tell you next what their top five teams were and where the Steelers rank. Give me a guess off the top of your head where the Steelers rank overall in the NFL and the Athletic's rankings. Wrong.
15th.
Wrong. They might be much higher. And they might be much lower. Why don't we talk about that next? Because when you think about franchises, truly, you think about the flagship franchises in the NFL, the historic franchises, the ones you identify pro football with, the Steelers are in the top five, right? And when you think of the biggest joke franchises in history, the Falcons are in the bottom five. Well, that may not be the case this year. We'll talk about that next. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. The great Brian Bacco joins me at 11, and we're going to go through every single player on the Steelers roster, and he's going to give us a thought on every one of them. You're worrying me with your visage today, your face. You seem unhappy. You seem sad.
No, I'm happy. I'm not sad. Maybe a little fatigued from the weekend. And I also have news on a guest at 12:05.
Is this the guy we talked about earlier, a mystery guest?
Yes, it is. Mystery guest for 12:05.
This is going to be really good. Really good. All right, we'll talk about all that coming up. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Has anybody checked on Crowley today?
No. The last time we heard from Crowley, Pat Freiermuth was quote tweeting a picture of Crowley that said, Adam Crowley, Penn State fan.
Pat Freiermuth was?
Yeah, Freiermuth was giving Crowley the business about the loss for West Virginia.
Wow. That's impressive,
yeah,
actually.
I love it.
Our Steeler talk there brought to you by Bet365. It's 10:25. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. We'll talk about Pat Freiermuth a little bit. Are we going with Muth or Muth after all?
Muth.
I don't think it is. I think he said Muth. I realize that doesn't go with the chant, but I think that is the actual pronunciation.
Freiermuth?
Pat Freiermuth.
thought it was Freiermuth.
Probably is. I don't know.
Maybe we should ask him.
We already did. And he said Muth a couple years ago, as far as I remember.
Maybe we should ask him again. Remember when Connor Sherry was Connor Sherry?
And Connor Sherry. Yes, he had three pronunciations of his name.
Yes. You never know.
The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And then there was Ole Mata and Ole Mata. And I, back when I went into locker rooms, went in, I told Ole about the confusion. And he says it was Ole Mata, not Mata. It wasn't Ole Mata. It was Ole Mata.
Ole Mata.
Yes.
How do players not, I'm sure they hear it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they hear the mispronunciations of their name. Why don't they go to like the media guy and say, hey, this is how you actually say it?
Because they don't care.
They don't care?
Yeah. I mean, if it is Freiermuth, he wouldn't want to put a damper on the Muth chance, right?
Well, I mean, you could change it to Muth. I don't think that's very difficult.
Muth.
Muth. I think Muth's better.
So do I.
We have a friend. His name is Luke
Skywalker.
His last name is Catcher, K-A-C-H-U-R.
Yeah.
But for the, like, 4 years, we've known him for, like, 5-6 years. For the 4 years that we knew him, until last year, he said, yeah, the actual, we call him Catcher, but his actual pronunciation of his last name is Catcher. And it went until 5 years later that he told us how to correctly pronounce his name. And he said, but I like the way you guys say it, so that's fine.
I think there are athletes who do the same thing. They'll just, like, if they become popular. It's like you and Donnie Football going with your nicknames. You've been a little more reluctant to go with City Limits, although
because
you've bought the T-shirt.
Yes.
You've leaned into that.
Mr. Ed bought the T-shirt.
As long as it's not Mr. P.
Did you see on Twitter, I tweeted out how Mr. Ed and I, you met Mr. Ed at the 5-Alarm Marathon, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Ed?
Yes.
Mr. Ed and I in cornhole, we played 4 total cornhole matches to 21. We beat one team 21-0. Then beat 2 other teams 21-3.
Do you know there's actual cornhole match at Acrisure today?
No, but
that's the greatest example of all. The whole last 2 weeks, it's been phonetically pronounced in my read as Acrisure.
It's Acrisure.
It is not Acrisure. I heard an ad yesterday that was basically the company itself saying Acrisure. It's not Acrisure.
I will go by what Larry Richard says.
You will go by, and so will I, what our salespeople phonetically pronounce right here on this sheet.
So are you saying when you go to a Steeler game and you hear Larry Richard say, welcome to Acrisure Stadium.
He's wrong. Yeah, 100%
You think somebody from Acrisure wouldn't have told Larry that?
Acrisure. Yes, I think they should have by now.
I think somebody would have told him by now.
I just heard yesterday, on a different station in a galaxy far, far away that may or may not have a relationship with the Steelers, and it was Acrisure. Shore. Acrisure. Why do you think on these reads, when we were promoting Ribfest, which, by the way, to get back to my original point, there's like a professional cornhole tournament there today.
So are you saying that Mr. Ed and I played against Akron in the real cornhole tournament is today, the college football playoff of cornhole tournaments today?
I thought you might be interested in showing up at Ribfest today at Acrisure.
I would like to.
And participating in, test your skills against the pros type of thing. But no, we wouldn't have, I don't remember the last time the name of a company was phonetically spelled out here on my read sheet. Somebody got to our salespeople and said, this is the way you say this name. It's Acrisure. And I realize this is surprising and maybe a bit jarring for people because that name has been around for a bit now. We've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Let's just call it Heinz Field. That'll answer all the problems.
That'll go over well with the people paying to have their reads done here. Acrisure. That's what I'm going with. We could go down there today, Limits, and play a little cornhole.
She sells seashells by the sea, Acrisure.
Coming up, Brian Batko at 11.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I apologize, City Limits. I thought you had a quote from Brian Kelly there. All right.
Could I make a proposal?
Yeah, please.
I keep thinking about this. With the way that college football keeps continuing to become the NFL, who just added a 17th game, why doesn't college football just add a 13th game and make it a designated rivalry game that's either week one or the final week of the season?
That's a good question. I wish they would.
Like baseball does, the designated, they used to before everybody played each other. The Pirates and the Tigers played each other because I guess the 1909 World Series was so memorable. They're rivals with each other instead of the Pirates and Cleveland, which make no sense. But why doesn't college football just adapt that and adopt it? The players are getting paid. Pay them just a little bit more and play another game so that you have the Pitt-Penn State game. You have the West Virginia-Pitt game every single season.
I agree with you. And I think it's a wonderful idea, and I commend you for it.
You're adding more games for the college football playoff anyway, so what does one extra regular season game have to do with it? And wouldn't, if you're college football, and if you're the players, wouldn't it make a little bit more sense? Because the players are going from 12, maybe 13 college games to 17 if you're playing in the pros and in the playoffs, 18, 19 plus the preseason. You're playing in about 20 NFL games after playing 12 college games. And for rookies who might get fatigued a little bit later on, wouldn't it be more beneficial for them to play more college games so that it's similar to a schedule as the NFL?
I can't disagree with a word you've said, even the ones I heard.
Now I'm going. Perked up on a Monday now.
There you go. We're going to do Bechtold's breakdown, aren't we, this
week? We are.
Week.
We're doing it at 1?
Of course we are. Yes. We have Batco at 11. Tell us about our mystery guest.
Rob Carter Jr., the defensive back from Robert Morris.
Oh, my God.
Who made the play of the season in week one. How about it was almost upstaged by the catch that was made in the USC-LSU game yesterday.
I didn't see that one, no.
Another one-handed grab. This was a first down catch by, I think, receiver tight
this
end.
This is one of the greatest plays I've ever seen.
Unreal.
Rob Carter Jr.?
Rob Carter Jr. is his name.
From Virginia. I just want to ask him what the reaction has been like. What stood out about this play is he jumps up like Beckham did, right, for that famous catch, reaching up with his right hand. But in the air, he cradles the ball in the air and then twists his entire body in the air.
He does a full 360 in the air.
Yes.
And it's the cleanest catch that you might ever find.
It's ridiculous.
From a defensive back. The ball doesn't even bobble a millimeter. And he just completely, and right away, tucks it into his chest like he's done this before.
Right.
It looked that easy.
What time's he coming on?
12:05.
I'm very excited about that. There we go. That was the key. We needed one more, and that was the key. You just made a great free agent signing there. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. All right, The Athletic ran 10,000 simulations on the NFL season, had their experts weigh in on the NFL season, and have a win total for every team. Do you want to see if you can guess who their top five? These are the only teams, the top five, the only teams they predict to win 10 or more in the whole league, okay. At least what the models say. You know what I mean? It's likely you'll get at least that many 10-game winners, I would think. But they picked five teams to win. These are their top five teams. Who are they? And as soon as you get one wrong, we move on.
Kansas City.
Yes, they're second at 11.3.
San Francisco.
They're first at 11.4.
Yep. Detroit.
They're third at 10.5. I don't see any reason why they're not going to be good. They think that they helped themselves by getting rid of Cam Sutton, and I would agree. This whole thing about the con artist, by the way, can we revisit that for a second? If he's been, like, you know, outsmarting the rest of the league, the con artist, rebuilding this roster like never before, fooling everybody, swindling people, then why are the Steelers 3-point underdogs to the Atlanta Falcons with everybody having questions about holes up and down their roster like, oh, I don't know, they don't have a number two receiver? How many teams in the NFL can say that?
New England. End list.
Oh, they signed a corner who's out for 8 games when you had to know he was going to get suspended, who stunk last year. I don't know, man. The con artist. All right.
Kind of conned himself on the Brandon Ayuk situation.
And that, yeah. And I think that was, you know, getting rid of Deontay was going to be an addition by subtraction move. But the way things unfolded this summer, it sure looks like he conned himself on that one and moved too soon. Although I also wonder if Ayuk was just playing the Steelers, just using them in the end. Like, I'm going to pick a believable team. Like, I'm going to pick, I love Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, I'm going to go play for them. I'm willing to take less to play for them. The more you think about it, the more you have to say to yourself, this was a ruse all along and that this guy and his agent were geniuses for how they played everybody, right?
Just to get more money out of San Francisco, get the number they wanted.
He got to miss training camp, get the number he wanted, or close to it, and he still plays for the Niners.
Yeah, he didn't practice. He didn't play in a preseason game. He didn't get fined. He sometimes appeared at camp just to show face, and he walks away with exactly what he wanted.
Absolutely incrinculent. So, yes, you're 3-for-3, Niners, Chiefs, and Lions, who are 4-and-5.
This is where it starts to waver, because is Philadelphia on the outside looking in and is Buffalo on the outside looking in? I'll say those are the final two.
You're wrong. It's Baltimore and Cincy right out of the division. You should have picked
Fascinating.
That.
Yeah. I didn't think, because of how good the division is, that would be that surefire of a bet because of how Burrow's been injured. And
I mean, it's all for Baltimore. It's all about Lamar's health. If he plays a full season, they're going to win double-digit games question because he's that good.
Same with Cincinnati.
And I realize I can hear people saying, what about the playoffs? What about this? Yeah, I get it. At least he's won a couple playoff games. There's another team in that division that hasn't won one in going on 8 years. So, you know, mock Lamar Jackson all you want. All that dude does in the regular season anyway is win tons of games. If he's healthy, they're winning, period. They're going to win a lot. And the same is true in Cincy, where it's Joe Burrow. And by the way, and I've said this many times, he played in 5.5 games last year. Their defense stunk, and they had one of the toughest schedules in the league, and they still won 9 games. That gets you immortalized in this town. Remember the Duck Hodges year? People still talking about what a miracle that 8-8 year was. Even though the Steelers had an absolutely horse crap schedule that year. And if even if you'd told me they were going to have Duck Hodges, I would have picked them to win a lot of the games they won. But forget about that. Nobody talks about what the Bengals did last year. Still won 9 games. Now Burrow's healthy. And if you watched him play a little bit in the preseason, he was slinging it. I had questions about that weird wrist injury. Chase, I'm assuming, will be around, in Higgins on the end. That's all I need to know. And I think they're going to win the division. But you're right. Right outside of that is the Eagles, Cowboys, Packers, and Bills. That's what they have as the second level. The Eagles crumbled in such disturbing fashion last year, where it almost looked like they quit, that a lot of people wondering what's happening with the dynamic of that team. And now they lose Kelce to retirement. When I realized they added Barkley and some other people, but there's questions about the Eagles. I get that. Although they do have them to win 10 games. The Cowboys, the same thing. Roster-wise, the Eagles and Cowboys, unquestionably in the top, I think, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the league, no doubt.
Yeah, but the Cowboy roster is starting to get thin.
Plus, the Cowboys crumbled in demoralizing fashion. So I wonder about those two teams. I'd have the Packers higher. I would have the Packers higher. I think they're going to be really, really good. Love their coach, love their quarterback. And when you have a coach and a quarterback, you got something going for you in the NFL. Would you agree with that, Lennox?
Some people are starting to call Jordan Love an MVP candidate
I am.
This year.
I am.
Like an actual, some people are picking him to win the MVP.
I might. When we do our football capsule later in the week, I might.
I think it's a popular bet. I've gone with Josh Allen the last 3 years. Should I make it 4? I've been burned again.
I think Josh Allen's the second best player in the whole league, if not the best.
I agree. Second best. Behind Mahomes.
You have to put him behind Mahomes because Mahomes has done what he's done. No, he hasn't owned him. Josh Allen's actually beaten. He beat Mahomes in Kansas City 2 years ago, and then the idiot coach couldn't cover a kickoff and then played a prevent defense when the other team only needed a field goal. He had him beat.
Yeah, I guess he just owns the team. He owns the Bills.
He does.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, that's
he
okay.
Owns
You're
Buffalo.
Probably right. And then he battled them toe-to-toe last year in Buffalo, and they lose because they're kicker missed an easy field goal. I don't know that they win the game, but they go to overtime maybe. Anyway, you know, as long as you have that guy, you're a threat, although I think the Bills are a little bit down this year. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Falcons are 12th on this list. 12th. If the Falcons don't win at least 10 games, it says here in The Athletic, they'll be disappointed, and they should be. They said they were ready to compete at the highest level when they fired Arthur Smith. They guaranteed Kirk Cousins $100 million. They traded for Matthew Judon, signed Justin Simmons. 81-year-old owner Arthur Blank is pushing all his chips in and making an expensive bet that this team is better than 9.4 wins, which was the model's projection. So the Falcons, because they fired the guy who's now the Steelers' offensive coordinator, are overflowing with optimism?
Yeah, apparently. Raheem Morris is that big of an effect, or maybe it's the Kirk Cousins effect.
This simulation has them above the Texans.
That's ridiculous.
I agree.
But at the same time, look at the division that they play in.
I know.
They'll easily kill Carolina. The Saints, what the hell is wrong with the Saints? Like, what has happened to them?
They're just the Saints. Why are you asking about the Saints?
I used to like the Saints. I used to like Drew
Brees.
So did I. That was like my NFC team I rooted for, them and the Vikings.
Where do you think the Steelers are on this list then? The Falcons are 12th. You said 15th?
I said 15th. Now I'm starting to think 18th.
A little lower. Last place in the AFC North on this list. Below the Browns.
That's ridiculous.
Below the Saints. Below the Seahawks.
Wait, they had the Saints higher than the Steelers.
Below.
I'm sorry.
Yes, they have the Saints higher than the Steelers.
That's stupid. I can't take this list seriously if that's the case.
Below the Bears.
I cannot take the list seriously.
The Steelers are below the Bears. They're below Jacksonville, who I think on this whole list is the best bet. if I were a betting man, Jacksonville at 8.1 wins, I would bet tons of money on Jacksonville going over eight wins this year.
I would too. I'm a big Trevor Lawrence supporter.
I mean, they start out with a rough schedule, but they winding down the stretch, they have a good one. The Steelers come in at 21st in the NFL. 21st!
Yeah, that is poor.
Why? Why is that so crazy?
It's poor for the Steelers.
Yeah. But you're making it sound like they're nuts.
Yeah, because the Saints are not better than them. I mean, that's
I think
bad.
A lot of this is a function of the schedule. Don't forget the Saints play in the NFC South,
right,
too.
Same thing with the Falcons. And Chicago, everybody's buying the Caleb Williams hype, but they haven't proven anything to, I think, be willing to be ranked that high.
I hear you on that. But like I said, because I like Russell Wilson, and I still think he has good football left in him, although there was a different story in The Athletic today where they interviewed executives around the league and coaches, and the majority opinion was that Russ Wilson's on the downside, like big time. I still think he's going to be good, and therefore I'm thinking they're going to win about 10 games and make the playoffs. But that's only 52% of me. 48% says it's not going to be another 8-8. Like, if this goes south, the wheels fall off this season. I think there's a distinct possibility of that happening. This is an extremely thin team. Huge questions at wide receiver. Huge questions at quarterback. I'll frankly admit that. Huge questions on the offensive line and the way it's starting out. Like, there's this assumption that they're going to have a really good offensive line. They got Broderick Jones maybe starting the opener. You don't think they're targeting him? Depth issues on the defensive line. Depth issues in the secondary. It's just, in some ways, it feels like a house of cards. If things go well and that defense stays healthy, and Cam Hayward comes back and has a really good year, well, then all bets are off. Then you're probably looking at 10 wins again. Let's put it this way. If I asked you to bet all your money one way or the other that the Steelers were going to soar this season and win 13 games, like they're just going to take off, or they were going to completely fall apart and win 5 or 6, which is the safer bet?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I thought of it myself.
Due to the schedule, I would say fall apart and crumble.
Yeah.
13 is just, it's not a 16-game schedule anymore. It's easier with 17, but that is an astronomical number for this team.
21st in the league, 9 spots below the Falcons.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.